fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Browncoat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th, in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia. Plus, get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.
Welcome to Sepia RVP, Radio Voice Phenomenon, with your host, Eric Dion, and his two co-hosts, Jessica Dion and Amy Dreammaster. We'll talk with the foremost experts in paranormal activity and share our thoughts with you every week here on Sepia RVP. Now here's your host, Eric Dion.
Welcome, everybody, to Sepia RVP Radio. I'm your host, Eric Dion, and with me, as always, the two undescribable, talented, witty, or they think they're witty, co-hosts, Amy and Jessica.
Yeah.
Hi. I don't know how to react to that one. I think it's a compliment.
Of course, it's always a compliment.
Right on.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and that's our show. No, just kidding.
Good night.
No, but thank you, everybody. I do want to say thank you to Reverend Tim. Your show rocks. Hopefully all of you aren't too drunk from being in there in the Black Cat Lounge. And if you are, just stick around, sober up to our show.
Yeah, we'll sober you up, or we'll bore you to death.
We do have the webcam back up and running again tonight. Woo-hoo! So those of you that have missed it for the last 2 weeks, it is back up and running. You can go to pair-x.tv to see the webcam and stuff. If the chat room gets too rowdy in there, we will close the chat down but keep the video feed running. So, but as always, you can listen to it on pair-x.com, or you can go to our MySpace, www.myspace.com/sepia RVP, that's S-E-P-I-A, R-V-P, and you'll have the chat room for Pair X, plus the webcam, plus the music feed, all in there once. I suggest using Internet Explorer for that, and not Firefox, because Firefox seems to not give you the music feed for it. So, we have a great show planned tonight.
We have
Britt with Taps and Ghost Hunters on, and we'll be discussing Taps Boot Camp and some other stuff. You'll have to listen to find out what the other stuff is, because if I just told you now, then you'd all leave me, and we wouldn't have anybody here.
Right.
We'd be talking to ourselves, which is not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon at all. We do that quite a lot, actually. But that's okay, because at least we entertain ourselves. I don't know
that's
about...
That's all that matters.
And aggravate me, but...
Yeah. Talk about aggravating.
Hey. Talk about aggravating. Amy got a new... blow-up toy today.
It's not a toy.
Oh, a blow-up bed.
Yes.
So, but, yes, we'll
it's a big one,
that.
Too.
That's what we're going to go ahead and do later on tonight is blow up the bed for us. So.
Now, we were going to do the double hour of, we were going to do Britt and the paranormal dating game tonight, but with
Britt being such a great guest, we wanted to give him as much time as possible.
Yes. And just not in the mood to play a paranormal dating game. Sorry, guys. It's been an interesting kind of rough and weird
week.
It's
not necessarily done. We're just postponing it for the time being because we couldn't get on top of our game.
Right.
Keep up with stuff. So.
But if you still want to be a contestant, you can email us at www.
Emails don't start with www. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know what? I told you it was going to be a bad night tonight. My head is pounding. I've got a bad headache. I've been suffering with it all day long, and I want to punch people in the head, too. Sorry.
So, alrighty, on that note, let's go ahead and let you girls give some shout-outs to the people out there in the chat room right
shout
now.
Shout-outs!
Because I can't see it from that far away, so I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, we're in charge. Ha! To all you in the chat room, we're in charge. Ha!
Well, we got Marla. We got...
Woo, Marla!
It's insane in there. Verona's in there.
Reverend Tim, holla, you rock!
There is no arguing.
Rock. Yes. We got Murphy from Detroit, my boy. What's up? We got Tachi Boy.
Chris and Carlo and, oh my God, there's a lot of people.
A bunch of other people that we don't know, so what up?
Yet. We'll get there.
Oh, goodness. Actually, I also wanted to to give a special thank you to Reverend Tim. And I don't know if Martin and Gavin are actually listening. And Verona. You know, we had a pretty crazy week. And we had some things happening. And all of them bent over backwards to give us advice and help. And I just wanted to thank you guys very much for all of the kick-ass advice and words.
And we have a new monkey on board.
Oh, we do.
It's a sock monkey called Ho-Ho.
This is my sock monkey, Ho-Ho. Say hi, everybody.
So, of course, if you're not watching the video, you can't see it. So.
Right.
But Ho-Ho is a sock monkey. And
he's my love muffin.
Yeah. So we had to replace the one we gave Marla.
And the other ones all popped. They deflated.
That's because you kept biting the
muscles. Here's one.
I know. It's a deflated
one. All right. Well, I guess without further ado, let's go ahead and bring our guest on.
Right.
Sound
on.
Good.
Ladies.
yes.
That was the death one.
Gentlemen.
You can't be considered
start your
that.
Engines.
Start your engines. And do we have Britt with us?
How you guys doing?
Hey.
Pretty good.
How you doing?
How you doing over there? hey, what's the deal? How come I can't date Amy? I'll play the dating game.
Well,
heck yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, good thing. Good thing we extended then.
Yep. Then send an email to Eric.
We'll get you all set up.
You can be a contestant on the game.
Now, does Eric wear the really bad suit with the really bad ties and the big glasses?
We can do that.
I'm not playing dress up.
But you never watched a dating game in the 70s to see the bad suit they had?
I remember it and stuff, but these girls would get a little carried away with it.
No.
So they would like chloroform my tail, and I'd wake up in a tutu and tie-dye tights.
That wouldn't be standards. Any different than what you
No, I'm pretty sure you would wake up in leather and strapped to a St. James cross.
So how have you been, Britt?
I've been damn good. How about you, ladies?
Very good. Very good.
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
Best.
I got to tell you, Britt, I've never seen two girls so nervous about talking to somebody on the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Why?
Like tonight.
Cheese and rice.
They were all over the place.
I was fine. It wasn't me. It was her.
I didn't do it.
I was actually a little...
Oh, now you're writing each other out. Nice podcast.
I didn't do it.
That's how it goes over here. I didn't do it.
And, of course, I'm outnumbered, so they can always null and void what I say.
That's
like, yeah, you like it, though.
Yes, he does. He likes being dominated.
He Shazam! I ain't even going there.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, this is going to be one of those kind of nights. Okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is going to be one of those nights.
You know our catchphrase, right?
I don't think he does.
We put the X in pair of X.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll work.
And we were
kids, you better turn the radio off. Your wife's going to hit you tonight.
And we rock your pants off, so, you know.
Yeah. And you know, the bad thing is you say my wife's going to hate me tonight, but she sits right here. She's
no, like, my
I'm his wife.
No, I was telling my partner, Sid, who's in the chat room, he better turn his radio off.
Oh, good.
So he doesn't hear what we're talking about because she'll hit him.
Oh, good. Send all hate mails to jdion@sepianc.com. Jess will filter them.
Oh, awesome. Lord.
Okay, back to reality. What are we here to talk about?
We are here
with leather and crosses and thanking each other.
Spanking?
I think that's it.
Did you say spanking?
Yeah.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with you.
Now the girls are blushing. Oh, goodness.
All right.
Oops.
I think we were here to talk about the TAPS boot camp.
And they have some questions about the boot camp.
You don't want to know. We got a little creative the other day, and yeah, I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say anything about, I'm not going to say anything about dropping the soap or anything like that. You know,
with Steve.
And
wow.
All right, yeah. Serious guys, serious. Ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Who's problem?
So, we brought you on to talk about the TAPS boot camp. So why don't you
give us a little information about yourself?
What? That did not make sense.
Just ignore it.
You want me to give you a rundown of what the boot camp is? Is that where we want to go with this?
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! It's a boot camp. The boot camp. The TAPS boot camp is basically Paranormal 101. Bouncing around the country doing events. The email boxes are just filled with people asking, you know, Jason and Grant mostly, although it's not trickling down to me, you know, how do you guys do this? How do you investigate that? What do you do with this? What do you do with that? So about a year ago, Jason asked if Sid and I would put a curriculum together and come up with a program to basically teach what we do. The boot camp itself is how TAPS does it. Sid and I and everybody in the TAPS team, we absolutely 100% know that this is not the only way to do it. This is not an edict from us as TAPS to all these groups saying you must do it our way or you're worthless. That's not what this is about. This is just how we do it, and we're hoping to take people who are crossing pretty much geared towards the people who watch the show and go, you know what, I really want to go investigate the paranormal. That's what this is really geared towards. So if those people will come to us, and then we'll just get them kind of pointed in the right direction. This is how we do it. It's a 5-hour class. We go over everything from equipment to evidence, how we review our evidence, what we consider evidence, what we throw out, you know, how much filtering we will do to evidence, if any at all. We answer questions, obviously. We go over case files and some evidence we've gotten on the show, some evidence we've gotten off the show, and basically just teach people and just try and get them pointed in the right direction. God knows, Sid and I don't know everything. And I'll be honest with you, every class we've done, Sid and I have also learned stuff from the crowd. And what we're finding out now we've got 5 or 6 of these under our belt is that the people that come to the class that are just this is like their first experience in the paranormal world, they're almost on information overload. They learn so much. But we're also finding out that we have people that have been investigating for a year, 2 years, 4 years. They're coming to the classes too, and they're also learning stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Sid and I, we're also learning stuff. So it's like this big learning, meshing of ideas and floating ideas and this really cool exchange of paranormal talk, so to speak. And after we're done with the class, basically we go out and investigate that night in the haunted location that the class is at. And basically the investigation is just an extension of the class. It's more like a hands-on training deal. It's not ideal. It's not an ideal investigation like we would do in our organized groups where we go in with a very controlled situation. It's a little bit larger, but it's more about showing people how to use the equipment, how to do an EVP session, how to kind of sit in a room quiet and just observe it and get used to it and how to write notes and what you would want to write down, what you don't really care about, stuff like that. So in a nutshell, that's roughly what the boot camp is.
Wow, right
now, do you have a searching for bugs class?
Yeah.
searching for bugs class?
Yes. To be on the video and the pictures, you know, to...
Oh. Yeah, you know, actually, we do a whole thing on orbs and bugs and how IR light and really just over-exaggerates what dust is. And we actually go into a lot of the false positives, and we try and show people, we go over the most common false positives that there are. And it's just about showing people how what you see might not necessarily really be what you're seeing. Does that make sense?
Right.
So.
Yeah, because we... All I can say is I know lots of people where, you know, it's a bug and everything's an orb. Everything's an orb. Look at that. Oh, and it's hot.
We do a whole thing on orbs. It makes a lot of people angry.
Right.
We don't want to see the orbs. Orbs, you know, our whole, our thought process and our the official TAPS feeling on orbs, whatever you want to call them. Bottom line, orbs can be created naturally in nature. It's a proven fact, matches the plasma energy, the way it discharges. I don't know exactly how it works because I'm not a scientist like that, but it's been explained to me numerous times. It happens naturally in nature. So, okay, so now you got this whole thing where, you know, bottom line, it could be something natural. And then on the flip side of that, if you go to ghostvigil.com, Mark Stinson over at ghostvigil.com did this really great experiment with dust and moisture and lint and dried skin and
hair.
Basically, he created this entire plethora of orbs out of moisture and dust and lint and whatnot. And there are so many ways to get a false positive on an orb, and then it can also be done naturally. You know, if someone comes up and hands us a picture and says, "Oh my God, look at this! I got an orb." You know, it's not an orb. Sorry, it's just dust. It's just skin. It's just moisture. And what we try to explain to people with orbs, if you're in a dark room and you just pick your camera up and you fire off a shot and you look at the screen, oh my God, there's an orb there. Look at the spirit I got.
Yeah,
that's just dust.
It's a ghost.
That is just dust. Now, if you're in a dark room and you see a ball of light float across the room with your naked eye, and then you fire off a shot and you get it on there, okay, that's interesting.
Right.
Yep.
If you don't see it with your naked eye, then it's just dust or moisture or whatever. It's a false positive. And that's what we're trying to get across to people. Now, what I love, me personally, because people, you know, I'm on the show and people can approach me, which is totally cool. I love talking paranormal. But when someone comes up to you guys, if you're at an event or wherever you're at, and someone comes up to you and they hand you a picture, look what I got here. What do you think?
Right.
Now, that's like ripping a page out of the middle of a novel and telling me to read it and then tell them what the entire novel's about.
Right.
You know, this is where you as an investigator or an amateur investigator, you need to take a note. What time was it at? What was the weather like? Where was the humidity at? Mm-hmm. What were your camera settings on? You know, was it really cold out? So could that be mist from your breath? Or was it really hot out and humid out? So could that be fogging on the lens? You know, was the window? You as an investigator, you're supposed to observe all that stuff and write it down, and then make your opinion of what you just took a picture of. Coming up to somebody like me or you guys or anybody and going, hey, look at what I got, and you don't have any backup evidence with it, that doesn't, for me personally, it's like I can't make a decision or an informed opinion on what is in that picture. I need all that background evidence or all that background information so then I can kind of form what's going on. And that's what I think a lot of people miss. They want to take the picture and they want to see that orb and they just want to believe. But it has a face. Look what color it is. And oh my God.
Hey, it's full with ripples.
Someone shoot me now.
Smiling at me.
Right. It's got a face in the middle. It looks funny.
So, you gotta love them. I mean, they mean well. It's just, it's just they're not, you gotta go beyond watching Hollywood, basically.
They're too busy wanting to catch something rather than letting something come to them.
Right.
Right, exactly. And there are people out there that are anchors that are out there that they will go into a location wanting to prove that there's paranormal, which is the exact opposite of what we do on the TAPS team. We go into a location, it's about debunking and finding the natural causes. And then at the end of that investigation, at the end of that day, if we cannot explain away stuff that we've caught, then we're left with paranormal. And bottom line, just because paranormal activity is happening doesn't mean it's a haunt.
Yeah.
Paranormal means it's not normal. That's all it means. Well, it doesn't mean that, there's just a little old granny.
Yeah, because it can be residual. It could just be energy. It could be, different things, not just something.
So it's
a ghost. Everything's a ghost.
Yep, that's my thoughts on orbs.
Well, thank you for sharing that thought.
Yeah. But in the boot camp, we actually have pictures and video and it's more in-depth, and we kind of go on to show you how all those false positives hit. I mean, if you go back before the digital days, you go back into the 35mm film days, we didn't have this orb crazy, and it's because basically 35mm film doesn't process or react to the flash off of the dust particles like digital film does, or like digital does, not the film, like digital cameras do. And it just has to do, it's just basically how the digital camera processes the image that's coming in, and it gives you these bright, brilliant orbs.
Did somebody in the chat room just say that orbs talk to them?
Orbs tell me it's time to vacuum.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, you might need to go talk to the doctor.
That's actually awesome.
I was driving around in old Mexico. I got lost and didn't know which way to go. I was confused, it was late and I was in a fog. I ran over the Taco Bell dog. I felt that smush and I said, oh mama, my lowrider crushed that little chihuahua. I prayed for forgiveness in a synagogue. I ran over the Taco Bell dog. If I am caught, they will put me in a cell with 20 locks. Unless I can pin it on Jack in the Box. I'll be whipped, then beaten, and then I'll be flogged. I ran over the Taco Bell dog. His last words were, yo quiero el médico. I flattened that pup, to hell I will go. I should have skipped driving and gone for a jog. I ran over the Taco Bell dog. I ran over the Taco Bell dog. I ran over the Taco Bell.
Hi, this is Mary from the Chad People Radio. And come join Lori and myself at our new time next Sunday, 7 p.m. here on Para X.
Paranormal fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Browncoat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th, in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia. Plus, get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.
And welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio, everybody. And tonight we have a great guest with us, Britt with Taps and Ghost Hunters. And of course, the two lovely co-hosts, Jess and Amy, as always.
Oh, yeah.
And they are on webcam tonight, streaming live, uncensored,
with a dry,
unadulterated.
With a dry
on a what?
Board, unadulterated. I don't know. I might have to put that one in my dictionary of words.
So you can see that at www.myspace.com/sepiaRVP. That's SEPIARVP.
Yes, it's pronounced sepia too, not
sepia.
Sepia.
Not sepia. Sepia. So yeah, we've heard that big comment.
Someone typed that in the chat.
I tried.
So.
Yep, we were talking about the boot camp. The booty camp, as they were saying in the chat room.
Now, Amy, don't you have serious questions to ask about that boot camp?
Yes.
Like, what things that you'd have to do? Or
well, I just wanted to make sure, like, if I came, that I didn't have to, like, shave my head and, like, have to do push-ups and stuff. And, you know, are we...
You wouldn't.
Are we going to be...
Everybody else, maybe.
All right. Here's the question. Are we going to be tested on how many pieces of equipment we can handle?
At once.
No.
Sweet.
We're just going to call you idiots. No. No, it's not like that. Thank God it's not like that. I hated tests when I was in school, so I'm not ready to put you guys through tests.
But
we give you a lot of information. We give you a whole lot of information that you're going to leave and your brain's going to be like, what?
Right.
Now, is it integrated? And we have separate places.
What?
Nothing.
I think you confused him on that one, too. Because
you confused me.
He was like, what?
Huh?
I hear
crickets.
Oh, Lord. What was the other? Wait, you wrote down, can we handle other people's equipment?
For the right amount of money, you can call me Susie if you want. I don't care.
Woo! All right.
Oh, goodness.
Sold.
See, they just...
See, recently, now you made Eric blush.
They recently... they went to Fort Mifflin. Taps of Man. We had won tickets through Parax, and the Sepia girls, Jess,
had
Amy,
a girls' weekend.
Sally and Selena all went. And I'm hearing a beep.
What's that beeping?
Oh, I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, well, stop calling him.
But people ignore it.
I was like, that's not my computer. I'm not playing that. But yeah, they went up there and they had a great time.
Oh yeah, I changed the taps van and it forever will be different.
Yeah, we started a new trend.
I humped the van.
Yep.
You humped the taps van?
I humped the taps van.
Yes. Amy started a whole new trend.
And then I got everybody else to start humping the taps.
It's still, I think, my profile pic on there.
Yeah, I think we we should.
Was Steve in a taps van at this time?
No, we showed Steve and Jay the pictures too, and they were like, Steve was like, are you peeing on the van? And I'm like, no. He's like, did you clean it up? I'm like, no.
Stay away from my van.
And Jason was just like, all right, you girls are crazy. But it was good fun.
They'll never be forgotten.
No. Oh, no. I think we made an impression that weekend.
And I think their impression of Steve and the bug thing will never be forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. That boy is something else. That's all I can say. I've never seen somebody so scared. Like, he got down on his hands and knees and was blowing underneath the picnic table to make sure that there was no spider webs.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he did.
And sit down.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He doesn't like spiders.
Apparently not. We were just like kind of looking at him. Like,
I thought it was kind of amped up for TV purposes, but no.
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 Oh, no. What you see on the show is the real deal. Yeah, it's not. Nothing is amped up. We are who we are, and that's one of the nice things about doing that show is, I can't speak to the other shows, because I have never done them, but for Ghost Hunters, what you see is what you get. It's the real deal. Nope.
Yeah.
So how long have you been investigating and working with TAPS?
In an organized fashion, I've been investigating since 2003. I've been hooked up with the TAPS team probably for a little over 3 years now. 3 years, right about that. I met Jason at a Darkness Radio event, and we became really good friends. And then he asked if I would help manage the TAPS Family Network, which is about 120 groups strong now. And from there, he then asked if I wanted to come out on the show, and I said, hell yeah. Nothing better than jumping across the country on someone else's time. And then after that, he asked if I would, he wanted a presence out on the West Coast, and he asked if I would build a TAPS team on the West Coast and run it for him. And I said, yeah. That's kind of how my progression went.
Right on.
Cool deal.
Good old Darkness
cool
Radio
deal.
Event. So that means you met him hanging out with Dave Schrader?
Yeah, pretty much.
Great.
Wow. You guys don't like Dave Schrader?
Oh,
Dave Schrader.
Love him to death.
We love him to death. He's something else.
Yeah. We got to, when we went to Ghost Doc, a couple months ago, we actually we were teamed up with him and had to investigate with him, and he was a riot.
And yeah, he's a very funny man. You didn't go any dark corners alone with him, did you?
I did.
You're the one that went back for seconds.
Say what?
She didn't do it.
I didn't do it, I swear, and we didn't get an EVP either.
And that wasn't a sock monkey.
That wasn't...
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks.
Ding, dang.
Ding, dang. Yeah. Right.
So, basically, yeah, I basically met them through the Darkness Day Schrader event.
Wow, cool deal.
Yeah.
That's how it's
kind of weird. I don't know, I still step out of my body and look back at myself and just go, how did you get here?
Right.
How did this happen?
That's why I like the events, because you get to meet so many different people and you get new connections. And I mean,
it's amazing how many people I talk to now. It's awesome. And how much my, you know, it's kind of funny. I've been doing from 2003 to roughly, well, what was 3 years ago? Like 2006-ish? I don't know. My first half of doing this, I've learned so much in the last 2 years, more than I have probably the entire time I've been chasing ghosts. And it's because of being able to meet so many people and so many, you know, people who are so scholarly and educated in this field. And it's really helped me in the last 2 years to really get my mind around what's going on. And I'm actually grateful for the opportunity. It's been a fun ride, and I'm going to ride as long as I can.
Right on. That sounds fun. I want to ride. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. You know, I can't.
Wow.
Wow. That's what she just put up in the webcam.
And you have a hearse?
She has a little dry erase board, and she's putting up stuff as we're sitting here.
Yeah, we actually share something in common. We both have hearses.
His is cooler, though.
Hearses. Yes, I do have a hearse. I also have an ambulance. I used to have a 6-door limousine one time.
You got a doctor.
Eric.
What?
Nothing. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, because his pants are around his ankles.
Eric, stop playing the porn music. I heard it. I heard it in there.
Oh, Lord. Oh, whatever.
He does sound effects. We can't hear it, and it's not fair.
So I got a question.
Sure.
In your opinion, what is the most controversial piece of a paranormal equipment out there that's used by people?
By people?
What's the most what?
Controversial piece of equipment out there.
Wow, there's a few of them. Controversial, I'll just give you what I think is controversial. The Ovilus, the Paranormal Puck, the K2, those are all controversial because they're used wrong by so many people.
What do you mean used wrong?
Wrong. Let's grab the K2 because that's the one that most people have. It's amazing how many, when sitting at your classes, when we get to the K2, we always ask, all right, who has a K2? And it seems like almost 3/4 of the class's hands always go up.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most, everyone seems to have that damn thing. And it's not an easy tool to use. This tool is, I've watched so many people at events and on investigations, other people who I thought would know better, they walk into a room with a K2 and they push the button, they start waving it around like, where's the ghost? And they're looking for a response. And they're just moving it around so fast and, you know, that's just not the way the K2 can be used. The K2, you really have to know the room that you're in, the building that you're in, and what surrounds the building. And that all comes from doing your pre-walk around of the place, the map that one of your team members should be making of a place before you guys even start investigating. When you walk into a room with a K2, you have to know where all the EMF spikes are going to come from, where the high EMF is at. You know, so, and that comes from basically doing baseline and coming in with a, you know, a digital EMF meter or a tri-field, a high dollar tri-field. And, you know, find where the computers are at, find where the lines run in the wall. Is the electrical box right outside the exterior wall? Is there anything in that room like a refrigerator or a thermostat that will turn off and on? It has a cyclical nature. You have to know where all that stuff is at before you can successfully use the K2. And then once you figure all that stuff out and have it on your map, you either push the switch to turn your K2 on, or you shove a dime in it, and you set it down, you step away from it, and then you do your K2 session.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people out there don't do that. They just think that they can take the K2 and walk around with it and just, you know, willy-nilly poke it in corners and try and get responses. And, you know, if you don't take the time to learn the room, learn the building, and learn the area, then anything you get off that K2 session, you really can't use in a credible fashion.
Okay, now what is your take on the paranormal puck? Because we actually have the puck, and what are you?
Well, I hit it with my hockey stick and it breaks every time. So watch the puck. No, the puck, how it was originally designed, is awesome.
Yeah.
The puck as a data logger for the humidity, for the temperature, for the dew point, for what was it? It was like for the EMF spikes. There's what, like five things, I think, a data log. That, when it was just that, it was a great piece of equipment. And honestly, that's what we use it for on our team, just a data log. But when people wanted to be able to type questions into a computer and have it send it down the line to the paranormal pup, and the paranormal pup somehow blasts it out into the atmosphere, and the spirits are supposed to understand it, and then they will come back and manipulate the paranormal pup in such a way that if it flexes the EMF field in just such the right way, it'll spit out this word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, demon, priest, candle, whatever. That I don't buy. I have a really, really, really hard time accepting the fact that the other side is going to take the time to learn a chipset and figure out if I flex this EMF field by 0.067 milligauss, I'm going to get it to spit out, get out, or whatever the hell word is going to spit. I just have a hard time with that. I think, and that's the same thing with the obvious. I think all that crap is hocus pocus. I don't buy into that.
Energy,
I have a hard time with that.
Can't manipulate the energy if the theory goes that a spirit manipulates the energy in order to make a K2 go off. How do you know it can't manipulate it to a certain extent to be able to bring it to a certain level to be able to get a certain response with practice?
Because the words that are put into that dictionary are man-made put in. Were they about 100 words, 200 words now?
Right, but it's actually been spitting out words that aren't even in the dictionary.
Okay, now I've heard that. I have heard that story a lot of times.
I've seen it.
I would love to see that. I want to see that so bad. Because if it does that, that's really freaking interesting.
Right.
But I have yet, it's one of those things, you know, there's some things I'll just take on face value when someone tells me, you know, X, Y, and Z happened. That is going to be one thing for me personally that I'm going to have to personally see. You know, it's one of those kind of bellwether lines in the sand for me. Because if it's doing that floors me. That would be really crazy. Have you personally seen that happen?
Yes.
You've personally seen a paranormal pup spit out a word that's not in the dictionary.
It comes up with a blank line when it shows up on the word bank on the side of the list. It comes up with a blank line,
right,
but it's giving you a word. And it's not in, you can't find it in the word bank.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have it like documented like on video type of thing or data logs?
It's probably saved in our
saves.
Thing.
It saves
it. Yeah, we probably have it saved in one of the data
I can't
models.
Remember. I can't remember.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I've heard that a lot of times. People say, well, it's spitting out words, it's not in the dictionary type of deal. And I would love to see that. And I'll be honest with you, what really turns me off about the paranormal puck with the word part, but really was more the ovulus. It's when they took the ovulus onto that other show that they have a lot of demons on.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually put in a custom dictionary to improve their odds of getting the demonic religious type word. That's when I went, what?
Oh, that's BS. See that?
Yeah, I was like, well, come on. No, I'm not buying that.
Now, we used it several times, and we actually used it last week.
Amy likes the puck.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. We were using it.
You like the what?
This is a serious thing, Eric. We're talking about butthead.
Being serious.
We were using it last week. We were having some things going on in the house, so we, you know, plugged in the puck and we were using it. And, you know, I'm about to get up and walk away from y'all. Whatever.
Just call me on your cell phone.
Right, okay. I will. Let's talk.
Go ahead.
Without these guys. No.
Okay, so you guys were using it last week.
And out of all the times that we've used it, this is the first time where we were actually having, like, way different words come up. And I don't know, it was weird. Like, the word Diablo kept coming up.
Diablo's not in the dictionary?
Yes, it is. But, you know, there's just some of the things that it said, like, you know, with the last thing that... You know, we're like, okay, we're about to go to bed. Are you going to leave us alone and let us sleep for the night? And it pretty much said, nope, fear me. Have a good night. We were like, okay, that's...
All those words like that, no, fear me, have a good night?
It didn't say have a good night, but it did say no, fear me. Oh, yeah. And then the other thing, too, it's the first question that we asked it when we plugged it in was... you know, what are you here for, something. And 10 minutes earlier, Jess and I were downstairs putting crystals and rocks in the window because her daughter had gotten woken up to something in the room. And the first thing that it said is, watch, put rocks in window. And we were like, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting. So we've had some really positive results on the puck, you know, and it's just weird. Because it's saying...
Well, no, I mean, if you're having good luck with it, keep using it. I have just never had luck with it, but I just have a hard time with the whole grabbing out specific words, because it's a, you know, it's only got a 200 dictionary or whatever it is now. I think it's grown a little bit since last time I read the directions on it, but I just have a hard time thinking that the other side's going to spend the time to figure out exactly how to manipulate it to spit out words and actually talk. I just don't get it. Now, don't get me wrong, the fact that it actually does something is pretty cool. The device itself, when working properly, because you know the Oculus number one has issues, right? If you see the Oculus one on eBay, don't buy it. It's got issues. But the next generation is actually works fine. But if the Oculus is working fine and you have it sitting down in the room and then it starts going off for no reason, or not for no reason, but you're asking for a response and all of a sudden starts going off, to me that's interesting. I just have a hard time with the specific words that it's spitting out meaning something.
Right. Yeah, I don't think...
That's just fine.
Not used the Oculus yet. Chicken Zombie in the chat room asked, can the Shack Hack be used as a legit... What did it say? Legit evidence?
Legit tool? Legit evidence? You know, God, I hate the Shack Hack. and it's not because I hate it because of what it's just, it needs more time being studied. And not necessarily the Shack Hack, but the Frank Spokes, really. It needs more time in the field. It needs more time. It needs more time being studied and people using it and trying to figure it out and trying to understand it and see what's going on before people will grab what it says and bring it forward as legitimate evidence. We need to understand it more. It just needs more study. It has the potential of being something really cool and really useful. I just don't think we have enough. We spent enough time with it to be able to use it. And then take what it says, however you process that, take what it says and go to a client and say, oh my God, your place is haunted and you need to get out now.
Right?
You know, I think it needs more study before we to understand what the heck's going on with it. I mean, I've messed with the Frank's box at the Stanley Hotel when Frank Sumption was there. And I've seen some stuff come across it, or I've actually not seen, but I've heard some stuff come across it where it freaking turned my head like a dog looking at a speaker. And go, whoa, what was that all about? They actually told me to spank Amy once. It was weird. But I just think it needs more study, unfortunately. And right now, people are grabbing it, and they're running out there into the field, and they're going to people's houses, and they're doing it, and they're taking what it says, and they're going to the clients with it and saying, you know, you've got X, Y, and Z in your house, and get out, or whatever. And I don't think that particular tool is ready to have that much credibility put into it.
Right. It's so stinking loud, too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It definitely gives you a headache.
Yeah. Yes. It gives you twitch.
But it is, but, you know, it's just one tool. And this is what kills me with, not actually that kills me, but I see a lot of this going on, too. And, you know, the paranormal puck, we'll grab that as an example. The paranormal puck, in and of itself, just that one tool. If you go into a house to do a full-blown investigation with all kinds of equipment, and you only get some kind of stuff going on with that paranormal puck, in your mind, does that mean that this house is haunted? To me, it doesn't.
No.
It's a bunch of tools that we need to use. We need to use the EMF meters, and we need to use the K2s, and we need to use the EVPs, and we need to use everything that's at our disposal and really get into it. You know, temperature data loggers and just our human observation of what's going on, and great note taking for the investigators to be observant of what's going on in a room when something happens. And you got to take all that stuff and compile it together, and then you make your decision. I've just seen some people they go in with one tool, and that's the only tool they'll ever use because that's what they're comfortable with, or whatever reason, and that's all they use. And to me, it's like that's not what we need in this field. We need to be able to document what happens. Multiple different ways with multiple different pieces of equipment, if at all possible. I like it to the trifecta. I want the trifecta documentation. Right. You know, whether it's on video, it's on audio, and we had a data log from the EMS spike that happened.
I agree. That
too would be awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what some people, they don't take the time to put all the stuff together. You know, I can give you an example. Did you watch the Goldfield episode?
The which one?
That was the Goldfield episode. That's the one where the Ghost Adventure guys went. We had the brick flung at them, and they were running out of the building like a little girl.
Yeah.
And then Taps followed up and went there.
Yes.
That was my first episode that ever aired. I went there. I was in room 109 with Chris Williams. That's the room where the lady was chained to the radiator and left for dead, and her baby was thrown down the well.
Yeah.
In the basement. We were in that room. And on the episode, they show two little kind of just random hits on the K2. And what the show didn't quite edit together right or to get it to come across right, no, those K2 hits and all those EVPs we got were within about 5 to 7 minutes. It was all in one single span. And what the show also didn't show was that we had a handful of K2s in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of spread out throughout the room. And that was the only K2 that lit up. So that right there told me when I observed what happened that it wasn't a production radio being keyed up. It wasn't a police car or fire engine going by outside and keying up the radio. It wasn't anything like that, because otherwise everything would have lit up. But that little K2 lit up, and the digital recorder that was right next to it was where we found the EVPs. Now, because we take such great notes, I was able to grab each digital audio recorder that was in that room. The two mini DV cameras that were in that room, and then also the production audio off of our wireless audio packs. And I was able to listen to all that, time sync it all together. And bottom line, those EVPs were only on that one recorder. It was not picked up on anything else. And we had multiple pieces of audio recording devices in there. So that told me that it wasn't an acoustical sound. It was something that was placed on that recorder. So I'm wondering now, what goes through my head is, okay, so was that K2 flicker, was that one, whatever, the entity, the spirit, walked over to that recorder when it went over the top of that K2, it flickered up, and then when it was done leaving its recording and was walking away, it lit up again? Is that what all that happened? Or did the K2 flicker when the EVP was actually being left on the digital recorder? I don't know. I just know that it was, you know, we had a K2 hit, just a random fluke K2 hit, and to be honest, that was the only time the K2s went off. That entire time we were there for two nights. That was the only time the K2s lit up in that room. So to me, it's like you got to pay attention to that stuff. Yeah, it was a random K2 flicker. And some people, the people who absolutely hate the K2, they would just, it's hogwash, throw it out, and wouldn't even pay attention to it. But I'm telling you, if you get something happening, or you get a random K2 hit, tag it in your notes. Make sure you listen to the audio. You pay special attention to the audio recordings at that particular time in the room. Or if you're having some cold spots going on, then you better be trying to get a camera turned on or trying to get your recorder turned on so you can get more equipment going, get your EMF gauge out. The more equipment you have running when stuff's going down obviously improves all of our odds of documenting the paranormal activity. And if we can document it on multiple pieces of equipment, that just makes it, in my mind, makes it a much more credible paranormal event.
Right.
Cool. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we have more questions coming in from the chat room for you. And somebody said you had 5 minutes left, but we'll probably have you on until about 11:20, 11:20.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They all talk gobbledygooky, the Parax family. The shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Parax family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Parax family.
Welcome to hold ourselves in mirrors,
paranormal fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Brown Coat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th, in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia. Plus, get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.
And welcome back, everybody, to Sepia RVP Radio. I'm your host, Eric, and with me, my two lovely co-hosts, Amy and Jess, and our fantastic guest tonight, Britt, with Ghost Hunters and Taps. You just heard the promo for Sepia's Phantasm 2009 event being held in Wilmington, North Carolina this year over the course of September 10th through the 13th. We'll have our special guest there, Gavin Cromwell, and Thursday night we'll be doing a dinner with a gallery-style reading afterwards. Friday during the afternoon, you'll be able to sign up the night before for readings from Gavin and other guests that are going to be there doing readings. Friday night, we'll be doing the Wilmington Ghost Walk, where Gavin will do his take of what he believes has happened there or what he's sensing and feeling, and then the guide will say what they have that has happened and felt there. Saturday, we'll have some vendors and other groups promoting their groups and stuff. And that evening, we'll break up into groups and do an investigation of a couple sites there in Wilmington. And Sunday, we'll wrap it up with a brunch and kind of like a reveal or a sharing of experiences and wish everybody farewell. So get your tickets now. We're only selling 50 tickets because we don't want this to be a huge thing. We want a very intimate atmosphere.
And so
there's only, actually there's less than 50 tickets left right now.
Yes.
And the cost is very reasonable. It's $125 for all 4 days. So if you can make it out there.
That includes the dinner and the brunch.
Yeah, that includes your dinner, your brunch, the vendors, the gallery reading, and some other, and the ghost walk investigation. All that's included. So, go to www.sepianc.com, click on the Phantasm 2009 event marker or link there, and purchase your ticket today.
Yeah!
Woo!
All right, now back to the...
Rock and on.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a great event. It's our first one. We're doing it all on our own and stuff, and everybody's kind of in shock that we're doing it on our own, but it's going to be a great event. We have a lot of stuff lined up. The building where we're holding it at, and some of the other stuff.
It's going to be really different.
It's going to be a different intake on a paranormal, I guess, type convention or trip that people aren't used to. But we promise you'll love it. And then, of course, you'll get to see the Sepia girls.
Yeah.
So I say that because out of the group, I think, until recently, I was the only guy in the group, and now we've added Carlo. And so now it's just me and him as the guys, but all the rest are very beautiful ladies in our group.
Eight girls and two guys. Look at that.
Them's great odds.
All right. Well, we've got like freaking questions flying off the bat in here. So why don't we
start? Geez.
Yeah, Kat. Kat wants to know, what is your take on shadow people?
I'm of the opinion that they are the real deal, in my opinion. My gut tells me, we had a great guy on our team for a while, Andy Kopach, probably one of the smartest guys in our field, and he's a quantum physicist engineer, and his theory was that they basically live outside of our visual range, and every now and then they either A, get sloppy, or B, they like to screw with us, and they'll kind of slip into our range, into our visual range. which, yeah, cause it's as good a theory as anything, I guess. Or maybe they're coming, you know, the whole mini worlds dimension theory that is out there. Maybe they're jumping, our world kind of bumps into their world and they kind of bleed through or something.
Right.
I don't know, but there's been enough pictures of them and enough documented experiences with them that I don't think we can dismiss it as being folklore or urban legend. I think there's definitely something going
crazy
on there.
I've seen enough shadow people to fill a freaking charter bus. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, I when we were on the Star of India episode, we were chasing something around in circles. All three of us, Jason, Grant, myself, we all saw something that we were running after, and yeah, there's definitely something there. I think they live outside of our visual range, and either we catch them out of the corner of our eye because they get sloppy and they kind of bleed in or whatever, maybe something like that, or just the way the atmosphere works and the Mother Nature and energy, all of a sudden they can kind of appear.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but you know, but my theory and my thoughts on that are just as good as the next guy's. So, take that for whatever it's worth.
Right. Okay, what was the... How do you feel about all the paranormal shows that have sprung up on television? Do they portray the paranormal fairly?
The shows are double-edged sword. In particular, I can really only talk or speak to the Ghost Hunter show because that's the only show I've ever been on. That show brings it across as best as they possibly can for it being a TV show. I can tell you without a doubt, 100%, that what you see on that show is the real deal. There is no fakery going on. Some of the other shows can't say that. They've been flat out proven to be fake and stuff like that English one.
Oops, did I say that?
But you know, but they're all actors and they admit it. They, you know, this is the way they found a way to make money. So, but they've been proven. So the show's a double-edged sword. Ghost Hunters in particular, I will tell you right now, I remember the days before Ghost Hunters. I remember the days before the only place you could go to get paranormal type information was In Search Of or you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not place or that was the other one. I was In Search Of, and what was the other one? That was another one. Those were the only places you could go for it. And then Ghost Hunters happened, and it was a huge success. And that particular show has done more for our field than any other single thing at opening doors for us, at bringing the paranormal into, to be able to be talked about and not laugh at. I remember going to people and saying, hey, we hear your place is haunted. We'd love to come in and check it out. And they just laugh at us. What are you, crazy? We don't want that. No, ghosts don't exist. You know, or they're embarrassed to talk about it. I remember dealing with clients who were so embarrassed about what was going on in their house. They didn't want to tell anybody. It was so secret because ghost talk wasn't really accepted in the mainstream until that show happened. Now these people can watch that show, and they have a place to go. And that show has spawned all these other shows that have popped up. And now you can really talk about ghosts and the paranormal and not get laughed at too hard. There's still some people out there who call hogwash on it and whatnot. But, so I think they're a good thing. For the most part, they're a good thing. Sorry, is someone talking?
No, I just said it's not anything like how it used to be.
No, it's a much more open field, and it's much more accepted nowadays, and I think that's because of the shows. The backside of those shows is all the groups that have sprung up. I mean, there's being in charge of the Taft family and seeing all these groups that pop up, I'm really tuned in to all these new groups coming out. They all want to get on our network because... You have a TAPS network, means you get cases. And that's great and all, but there's a lot of brand new groups without very much experience, and they're coming into this field, and they watch the TV show, and they think it's all fun and games, and they want to come and enjoy it and have the adrenaline rush, which there is a bit of that in it. But they're more into it. I call it drive-by ghost hunting.
Right.
Hunting for the thrill of, it, not necessarily to help people. And, you know, in a nutshell, that's all right. That's okay if you just want to come and have fun and do the adrenaline part of it. But you know what? Don't take on clients. Don't take on private locations. Go to the Queen Mary's and the Waverly's and the lighthouses and whatnot. where they're more geared towards the tourism part. They're very haunted, but they're more geared towards the tourism part, and you don't have to worry about helping somebody. But these groups that do the drive-by ghost hunting, they go into someone's house, they show up, they go in, they run their equipment, they have their fun, they stir everything up, and then they leave. And a client never hears back from them again.
Right.
So how the hell does that just help them?
Right.
Not only are you not helping them, you just stirred everything up, and those people have to live there. So that's the downfall of the show, is that there is so much, so many new groups that come on, and their websites look slick, and they look professional because they have all the team T-shirts on. They look like they know what they're doing. But not a single one of them has more than a year and a half experience of doing this.
Right. Yeah. You know? And a lot of
they get a demonologist on their team, and he's 23 years old. He's never taken a day of school of theology or religion or anything.
Yeah.
You know, all they're going to do is just make stuff worse. So that's the downfall of the show. But I think the positives outweigh the negatives more. I think it opening more doors and allowing people to have a place to go to talk, to discuss, to get help, and not be laughed at, ridiculed, or think they're insane and thrown in an asylum. I think by far the show helps more than it hurts.
I agree with that. And another thing, too, to add to that is, you know, with these people running out there and starting groups and doing the, what you said, like drive-by, you know, investigating or whatever, you don't know what's out there. And believe it or not, we all just, us, me, Eric, and Jess just got a big fat taste of reality of all of that. All of us have been investigating for a while now. And we're usually the ones that go out there and help people, and now we're the ones that need help. And you think you know everything, but boy, oh boy, do you not know. And
we can't even prove what we're going after. How the hell can we think we know what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and believe it or not, we weren't even on an investigation when this all happened, you know. So
was one of you drunk?
No, I do actually, believe it or not, I don't drink, and it attached itself to me.
We had actually gone for a photo shoot, and we were just checking out a building to see if it would work for the photo shoot, and it was during the day, and just kind of just walked around just to see the different rooms to see if any of the rooms would work, and
Were any of you kind of in a, not for alcohol, but on anything in general, or in a compromised kind of emotional state where you were like overly tired, exhausted, really, you know, maybe you had a big blow up with your significant other or something that would kind of compromise your protection within you?
No, but I am sensitive. I'm a sensitive medium, so, and I wasn't protected. I wasn't watching, you know.
What were you thinking?
I was a dumbass. That's what I was thinking.
But no, I don't know. I've been doing this several years now. Seven, 8 years now. Organized. I've gone into some pretty scary, bad, nasty haunts. Jason and Brandon have been doing this 20 years. They've never taken anything home. I've never taken anything home. I think it's rare, but you know, I'm also really strong inside. I'm a big believer that I don't need a cross or a Bible or holy water or a smudge stick or a freaking crayon or whatever. I believe it comes from within, and if you're strong inside, I mean, maybe you opened yourself up not knowing it, not paying attention to where you were at, and you let something in, but I personally never dragged anything home with me. But then you know what? I also have three kids at home that are 5 and younger, and anything that comes home with me quickly leaves.
Right.
So,
This is the first time that this is, I think I've brought home something one other time, and this is the second time. And holy crap. Boy, did we learn a lot of things about this. And we also, it opened our eyes to a whole new level of what is out there as well, you know. And jeez.
But have you tried to go back to that place and say, okay, get the hell off me and go back home?
No.
Or whatever?
No, we haven't done that. We did a house cleansing and,
So basically you kicked it out in the street.
Yeah.
So now your neighbors are going to be calling you in about a week.
That's okay. Hey, let them deal with it.
They already think you're strange with the hearse in the yard and us taking poses on top of the hearse.
All right. Doing photo shoots around the hearse and stuff. They already think we're crazy. Yeah. So, whatever.
Whatever, we'll get over it.
Right.
Exactly.
If they want to deal with it, now they can go ahead and deal with it. But I don't know. It just, it definitely, this past week and a half, it's opened our minds to a lot of things. And you, like you said earlier, you never stop learning in this field.
No, you never do. I learn something new almost every day of my life. And when I'm doing the paranormal stuff, I learn something new there, too.
Right.
And this field is ever-growing. There's always a new piece of equipment coming down the line. There's always a new tactic, a new angle, a new this, a new that. And the day that we all say, okay, I know everything, is the day we die.
Exactly. And I've got a kitty cat attacking my leg right now. Sorry. I'm like, what is that? Oh, no. Okay, it's just a kitten. we had a question from, was it Michelle?
Yeah.
Do you want to ask? Because I don't remember.
How do you feel about kids investigating the paranormal? And what would you recommend as far as an age limit to start?
Especially with that new show that's on the other
couple
side.
Couple new shows.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. Okay, it's kind of like this for me. A kid is a kid. What do they really know? They're kind of innocent, for the most part.
Exactly.
But yet they watch the shows, they watch the cartoons, they want to do it. I think there is a safe way to do it. I honestly do. But that takes parenting. That takes a parent looking at the situation and using some common sense and figuring it out. You know, you want to take your kids to the local Scooby-Doo haunt. That's a lot of fun, and maybe it's more hype than reality. That's fine. You want to take your kids to the Clovis Sanitarium or Wolf Manor, which was an episode on Ghost Hunters, which I've been to 12 times, which is probably the most haunted place I've ever been in my life. And it's a very dark, nasty, mean, harsh haunt. No, you don't want to take kids into that. Absolutely not.
Right. No,
you want to take kids to a haunted location where, like in Cherry Hill in New York, where was the Pilgrims' mass slaughter of the Indians? No, you don't want to take a kid into something like that.
Right. Yeah, come on, kiddies, let's go here and let's scare them.
Yeah, that just, something about that just doesn't, it just doesn't rub right with me. Just because they're kids, and you know what, they need to be kids. They don't need to know there's monsters in the world yet. They don't need to know that. They need to have fun and grow up and, you know, I really try to keep my, when I tell my kids what I do, it's like cast with a friendly ghost. I don't want them to know that there's wicked, mean crap out there that does nasty stuff. They don't need to know that yet.
And there's so
much. They're going to learn that stuff soon enough. You know, they're going to understand the world's an ugly place here quick enough. Let's not take that away from them too soon. That's my whole thought on it.
And you're allowed to have that thought, too. There's people in there. I think you should investigate at any age, but no, I don't think. I mean, no. Especially like we just said, you don't know what's out there. And
you, if you put a young kid in a situation with something bad, they can't handle it.
Ask Dark Angel how old he is, or she is. Sorry.
14.
There you go. 14 years old. Of course he's going to say that. He's a kid. Yeah. He wants to go investigate. I'm not saying don't investigate.
Just be careful.
You got to think about where you're taking him. But you know what? But then that's where the parent comes in. You know, Dark Angel could be a very mature 14-year-old that might be able to handle a little more. But that's where a parent's job comes in to assess their kid and make a logical, informed decision about it.
Right.
You know, so, and that, you know, I'm sorry, that requires work of a parent. Not easy, but, you know, I would not let kids, and when I say kids, I'm talking, you know, 12, 10 and below, something like that. Now, 14 years old, they're kind of getting in that area where they know what's going on, but they're kind of being aware. But they still need to be guided. It's not something you let them, it's not something I would let a group that has formed, you know, and you send in four 14-year-olds into a really nasty haunt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if this 14-year-old is a very mature lad and holds himself very well, maybe he can go in with an experienced adult group and get some schooling early on what goes on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And every situation is different. I mean, there's nothing in life that's plug and play, absolute, X marks the spot. You know, at least that's not the way I live my life. Life is fluid. Things change. What works for Dark Angel might not work for, you know, White Angel.
Right.
So, it's basically about parents being parents and adults being adults and assessing the situation and making the best decision.
Right. Yeah, I think we, back in the time, just turned around and there's a palm tree in my face. Back at home in Michigan last summer, we decided to, it was my founder of my group, decided she wanted to bring her son and a couple of his friends into an investigation, and they were like 15, 16. And as a matter of fact, it kind of peed me off because they were running around screaming, making noise. They contaminated our evidence.
Okay. There you go. And that is an adult's decision to assess their son. Do they have the mentality to follow the protocol? Whatever the protocol of your particular team is, do they have the mentality to follow it, to follow the orders, to march in step, and to do what they're told? And if they're running around like screaming banshees, they need to be kicked in the ass and shoved out the door.
Yes, thank you. That's what I wanted to do.
I mean, because we're not, I mean, I don't know where you're at, but if you're at a client's house, technically we're not there for fun. Mm-hmm. We're there to help them. And how can we properly help them if we have a couple teenagers being teenagers, goofing off?
Yep.
You're not going to help them out. Contaminated evidence, false positive. They may break something. Who knows? And that's not a place for teenagers that just want to horse around.
Yeah, it happens.
That's what you want to do with your teenagers. You take them to the Queen Frickin' Mary.
Well, it actually happened to me again a separate time with a separate group when we were at Waverly Hills. And one of the people with us decided to bring her 21-year-old son with her. And he was running around Waverly and being a goof, and you know, it was just in my eyes totally disrespectful. And
at 21 years old, he should freaking know better.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite a sight to see. And I'm like, you know, they've got video cameras throughout Waverly Hills watching, you know, and they've got sound systems through there where they can hear what you're saying and stuff. And I'm just like, great. You know,
but not only that. He was there with a group, and he's 21 freaking years old. He's an adult.
Yeah.
People pay good money to be there, mm-hmm. and they're not there to watch him be a dork.
Yeah,
idiot.
Goodness Lord.
We got more questions.
That was the only one I got. I don't know.
Well, I have a question then. we'll step back in time again. With the TAPS boot camp, do you have some of the dates for these and the locations that you'd like to put out there for people that are listening?
Well, we have at the end of the month, the 31st and the 30th, I'm sorry, the 31st and the 1st of August, we do have two TAPS boot camps at the Spalding Inn, which is the hotel that Jane Grant bought. That's actually insanely active. Had some great experiences there. So if people want to jump a plane or drive on over, we have a handful of tickets left for Saturday, and we probably have maybe 10 tickets left for Friday. If you're going to do the class and the ghost hunt, you can book a room at the Spalding Inn and stay overnight for the ghost hunt part, so you get to sleep in the Haunted Hotel. And the last boot camp we did there, everybody had experiences. And then when they all went to sleep, the experiences have kept on rolling. So that's that one. We're also getting ready to announce a boot camp out here in California, in Central California. It'll be up in the Porterville area. That should be announced, I would think, tonight, tomorrow, maybe the next day, somewhere in there. Depends on how unlazy I am. Then we also have, under Beyond Reality events, if you want to go to a big, spectacular event with a lot of speakers and people from the paranormal world, Mount Washington event, which is April of 2010, you can pick that up, and that's in New Hampshire also. And what's cool about that is the Mount Washington Hotel is a four or five-star hotel. The rooms go there for between $300 and $400 a night, and our rate is
$154. Wow.
So pretty much for the price of the room over three nights at $154 and the cost of the ticket, you're still paying less than you would if you were going there and paying full ride for the rooms. And the service is still magnificent there, and it's a magnificent hotel. And it's actually active. Some of the most craziest EVP I've ever heard in my entire life came out of that hotel. And that's that whole princess one where Jason goes, or Grant, whichever one goes, where are you? And she's like, I am here. What the hell are you? Where are you? And that snotty little voice she had. So it was like a whole sentence back and forth. It was kind of cool. So that will help. What else we have going on? We have Cooperstown, New York, Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll be announcing an event there here real quick. That place is really active. That's actually two full nights of investigating. Like what you guys do, where you do the classes during the day and you investigate at night.
Yeah.
This is a three-day event, classes during the day, and everybody gets to investigate at night. The place is so damn big. And that hotel's been around since God knows when, over 100-something years old. And then the other place we get to investigate in Cooperstown is a, they call it a farmer's market. It's like a little museum area where they grab buildings from the area that were built in like 1610. Really, really, really old stuff, and put it together in this nice little layout, and it turns out it's really haunted. I mean, they got stories upon stories upon stories there. So that could be a cool event, and that will be January, second weekend in January. So if you're interested in that, what else we got going on? And then boot camp, we're going to do boot camps everywhere, so all I have to say is just keep your eyes on our calendar page, which is at tapsbootcamp.com. Or you can go to the AtlanticParanormalSociety.com and get to it from there.
All right.
Just keep an eye on it because boot camps going to pop up here, there, and everywhere. So
yeah, you need to do one in Michigan.
We want to. We totally want to. Actually, I think we're looking at a location in Michigan, to be honest with you.
Awesome.
So hopefully we'll be there shortly. I would think within 6 months.
All right. Well, there you
now,
go, Frank.
With your events or your boot camps, usually how many people are in attendance for those?
5 million.
Woo!
I wish. No, normally we try to keep it small, but yet this all costs money. And you guys do events. You know this all costs money. Plane flights, hotel rooms, renting facilities, insurance, food, etc. So we normally do 60 people for the overnight, and then we try to backfill however big a theater is with class-only tickets. So if someone wants to come just partake in the class, they can, but they don't get to do the overnight part. So we try to keep the areas of investigation between 15 and 20 people at most, and we try to find the biggest areas so people can spread out and at least have somewhat of a quiet type time to do their investigating. But again, the investigating at the boot camps is not about investigating. It's more like a workshop, a hands-on workshop. It's yeah. about us, the experienced guys, working with you, the learnees, so to speak, and giving you just a taste of what we do and kind of how we do it, just to get you pointed in the right direction and walking down the right road. So, again, it's not an ideal situation for investigating. It's about as close as we can get and yet make enough money on the event to be able to rent all these places that we go. It's not cheap doing this. And you guys know that.
Right. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, people would just drop. If they knew how much it costs to put on a big BRE event, people would just poop themselves.
Oh, yeah. I just want to poop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Please, no.
Yes. Don't.
I'm in the room.
Right. We're in Sydney.
I know.
The bathroom's in there.
Yes. No, the other thing, at the end of the month, if you live in the Northeast, the Thursday night, which is, I think, the 30th, actually, Sid and I are going to be at the Spalding, and we're going to be hanging out in the Two Kings pub there, and we're going to freaking eat like kings and drink like sailors. So if you want to come out and shoot some pool, throw some darts, eat some great grub, and then, of course, you can stay in the hotel that night if you get too drunk, come on out. Jay and Grant are actually trying to adjust their production schedule so that they can be there, too. So
awesome.
If you're in that neck of the woods and you want to come hang out and have a good time, it's not about chasing ghosts. It's more about just hanging out, having a good time, shaking hands, grabbing ass, telling them what.
I want to grab that. Ass. I like grabbing ass. I did grab ass on accident.
And apparently humping vans, too.
Yes.
Well, not just humping.
Yes. And
inanimate.
Any statues or inanimate objects, I am on it.
You know, <powerful. laughs>
And I actually did, like, accidentally grab Steve's ass at that. Event. I didn't.
Oh, he probably liked it.
Sure, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. It was only half accident.
Oops. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on coming up.
Huh?
But I'm really excited. Honestly, I'm most excited about the Thursday night, just having a good time with people and being able to just kind of relax, drunk and stupor, talk paranormal stuff.
Right. That's always fun.
Yeah, so don't bring your kids. It's not a kids event.
Right. Road trip!
Road trip!
Yeah. This is about adults hanging out and adults having a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have to...
Where's the penny?
Anyone want to donate to the Sepia RVP fund to go to this? Go email us with checks. Yeah, that didn't. Email us with checks. That's going to flipping work.
Yeah, I'll see how many of you can get.
Right? I'm tired.
PayPal, baby. PayPal.
Yeah. I'm tired.
Where exactly are you guys located?
North Carolina.
We're about 45 minutes north of Wilmington of the battleship.
Okay. Yes. I have a kid in North Carolina. And Georgia.
Whereabouts in North Carolina?
I have no idea. I just know I got cousins there.
We're right on the coast.
I've been there a couple times. I don't know that area very well. It was Savannah, ring a bell?
Where?
It's outside of Savannah.
Savannah?
That's Georgia.
Savannah. Is that Georgia?
Yeah.
Atlanta, and then I guess there was is it Fort Sumter that's in North Carolina?
Fort what?
What? Sumter. Fort Sumter?
Bacon, there's Fort Fisher, there's...
We have a lot of forts.
There's a lot of forts.
They might be.
A lot of forts.
I've heard...
Yeah, I don't know, it's where, I guess where the Civil War started, or where they blasted away. Anyway, yeah, I got kidnapped. Actually, the wife and I are looking to move to the East Coast, and that's North Carolina, Georgia area where... kind of interested in.
Well, heck yeah. We'll be there then.
Maybe I should rethink that.
You gotta come to the event. We'll have another grown-up night. We're already planning one of those.
Right on.
A couple of people in the chat room that we're gonna have a drinking contest, but it's not gonna be with alcohol. It's with energy drinks, because we have a war.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're Monster supporters.
5-hour energy drink is the only one I can drink.
No. Monster.
Yeah.
Monster.
Yeah, see, Monster, I get the peak and then the crash. I get the peak, the jitters, and then I crash.
Really?
Peaking and jitters.
I don't do good with the chemical one. I like the 5-hour, the ones that are, you know, vitamin-based, I guess you could call it. Those are really the only ones I can do.
This is mainly vitamins.
Monster, no, Monster's got caffeine in it.
A little bit, but less than coffee.
I'm not even going to tell you what I thought I'd heard him just say.
Okay,
no comment.
All right.
Yeah, Red Bull just got popped in Germany for having a little bit of cocaine in their formula.
Really?
Oh, well, I better.
Maybe Germany or Chechnya or something like that. One of those countries over there, they banned it. They won't let it in.
I do not need any of that stuff. Woo!
Yeah, baby.
Get away from me.
Yeah. But what's this event you're doing? Where's it at? What locations are you going to investigate?
We can't give the locations of where we're investigating yet, but it's going to be in historic Wilmington.
It's going to be downtown Wilmington, and a lot of the historic locations and old buildings. And
we were going to do the battleship, but we were like, nah.
Everybody else does it.
The battleship.
So we're going to do something big so that everybody else gets to see something. I mean, there's so many other places. There's so much history there.
Right, exactly.
And I don't want to do something that everybody else is trying to do. That's the
point. Right. Have you guys investigated these locations? Do they have legit documented activity?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, there's a lot of good places there that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
And that's what we kind of want to bring to the forefront. Wilmington's an incredible place. I love it there. And, it's going to be awesome. I'm as excited as if I was the one attending rather than having to do all the planning.
Right. And then Gavin's your celebrity.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He is our best bud. We love him to death.
Does he live in North Carolina now?
Oh,
is
no.
He's in New Hampshire.
No, he's in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to take like 13-hour road trips like once a month to go up there and see him.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
It's all good, though. It's worth it. It's fun.
Yeah.
Makes life interesting.
Yeah, gives us something to do. It's much prettier there than it is here anyway.
Yeah, he seems like a fun guy.
He is.
He's awesome.
He is something else. You should see him with a paranormal pup. he uses it like a karaoke mic.
He's He's going to kill me. He's so good to you.
How funny.
Eric did it.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap up and say goodbye. I hate to do that and all, but we have to cue up the music and get ready for our news segment.
But before you go, you can give out all of your websites for everybody that's listening.
Okay. Go with, for the boot camp, go to www.capsbootcamp.com. Or you can also go to the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com and find it through there. If you're looking for the big celebrity style events, go to www.beyondrealityevents.com. Or you can also go to the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com and look on their calendar. There's links to all the events that the CAPS people can be seen at. And what else is there? I think that's it.
What about your personal MySpace or Facebook or anything like that?
What the hell is my MySpace? Is what?
Hold on, I have it down here somewhere.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it's / Britt Griffith is my MySpace. Or you can hit me on Tweet. Tweeter is
Tweeter.
Tweeter.
Tweeters. Yes.
Tweeter. It's Britt T. Griffith. So it's Britt and three T's. Griffith is my Tweeter. Whatever name. That's you can also go to the theatlanticparanormalsociety.com, and in the upper right corner is all of the TAPS members' tweety names, whatever they call it, tweeted names, and you can follow us there too. Yeah, we're twits.
Oh, somebody did not say that.
Please tell me you're not.
What
serious.
Does TAPS stand for?
No, somebody... kid calling a twit.
No, somebody asked, what does TAP stand for again? The Atlantic Normal Society. Oh, I didn't mean to
and
sound
And for
like
everybody
that.
Out there,
oh, my monkey's falling.
If you are the 25th person to add Brit on MySpace, he'll give you a ride. In either
Imagine a world where this sound was never heard again. It's hard to imagine such a world, but it could happen. Luckily, there is a place where caring people are dedicated to stop such a tragedy from happening. Wolf Hollow is a nonprofit organization which began its mission in 1988 by the late Paul Safran to dispel the myths about one of the most misunderstood creatures on our planet, the Great Wolf. But they need your help.
Hi, this is Joni Safran, the director of Wolf Hollow in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Won't you help us to preserve, protect, and educate people about the majestic wolf? Your donation will help us help them. Thank you.
Go to www.wolfhollowipswich.org to find out how you can help. That's www.wolfhollowipswich.org. Please do it today. Don't let the howl be silenced.
Gas prices raise as the money keeps burning. Dropout rate rising, so what are they learning? Sending the troops in the war, so I turn it to today's evening news. To the evening news, I thank you all for tuning in. Yes, I'm your host and your journalist, it's Chameleonaire, so let the news begin. Our helicopter's out in the streets, look at the screen and let's zoom it in. Cause Cassius is live at the scene. Hey, Cassius, how are you, my friend? Got no time for no interviews.
I got no time for no interviews.
No time to trip, but don't get confused with this type of news, opinions, and views. Got no time for no interviews.
I got no time for no interviews.
Well, you know I keep my ear to the street, so it's up to me to bring you the truth. Saw a movie where George Bush had a bearded man on his squad. So much power from oil money that poor folks can't sit by him. No problem, Osama, Bin Laden, been hiding. So long that them pictures all starting to look like him on them milk cartons. Don Imus made comments that made everybody forget about him. Max him and Nicole got pregnant and had kids by him. Rest in peace at Virginia Tech, too many innocent kids dying. Well, let's just blame hip-hop and act like that's the big problem. I would give you news about control.
Katrina. But you know I can't talk about Katrina, cause every time I talk about Katrina, they look at me like it's a misdemeanor. Anyways, there's way more important stuff that we can discuss. George Bush is playing golf, everybody hush, he's about to putt.
Gas prices raise as the money keeps burning. Dropout rate rising, so what are they learning? Sending the troops in the war, so I turn it to today's evening news. And the world keeps turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. And the world keeps turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. As the world keeps on turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. This is your evening news.
I know you take offense to certain words. I've heard worse, but I wouldn't blame you. They say he's an entertainer. Don't worry about it. Never mind Kramer. Crocodile Hunter got stung, and the lion turned on the lion tamer. We keep sending troops to Iraq. I figured that we must like danger. Little kids don't learn in school. They go to school to go spray a gun. If you're a parent, then be your parent. Get off the couch and go raise your son. Kobe just broke another record. Today's game, he hit 81. Now they're saying he's number one. Yesterday, they all hated him. OJ was named innocent. He got no sentence. He's still alive. It's very ironic that the lawyer that defended him had to die. Well, now my cue card says the price of gas isn't really high. But I'm not gonna read that, cause we all know that that's a lie.
Gas prices raise as the money keeps burning. Dropout rate rising, so what are they learning? Sending the troops in the war, so I turn it to today's evening news.
We still haven't found Pac Killer, still haven't found Biggie's either. 30 minutes into the case, they got tired and took a breather. Snoop Dogg just got arrested, every day he get a new subpoena. Innocent when murder was the case, so the prosecution got a middle finger. Hip-hop is sweeping the nation, but the content seems so degrading. Most rappers got new albums that white kids are anticipating. If you don't like it on the radio or the television, then switch the station. Flavor Flav get a lot of ratings, Bill O'Reilly somewhere is hating. Kanye just said what? The president ain't got time for that. The White House is gonna stay white, even though we know that Obama's black. 9/11 was a calculation, and some will say it was a timed attack. He gave a speech on CNN, they bombed us and we're bombing back. Where the heck is Osama at? And I would love to talk about Katrina, but every time I talk about Katrina, they look at me like it's a misdemeanor. Anyways, there's way more important stuff that we can discuss. NSYNC making the band and Milli Vanilli have broken up.
Gas prices raise as the money keeps burning. Dropout rate rising, so what are they learning? Sending the troops in the war, so I turn it to today's evening news. And the world keeps turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. And the world keeps turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. As the world keeps on turning slow, turning slow, turning slow. This is your evening news.
Good evening, everyone. This is Eric Shaltis with the Paranormal News and Sports Report. How's everyone doing this evening?
We're doing
fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, all right. All right, well, let's start this off. This is the Paranormal News Report here. We're going to start off with tonight on the BBC. There's a creepy show. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this show. It's called Torchwood. It's a miniseries. The third season of the Torchwood is, of course, a series, sci-fi drama series on the BBC about a team of paranormal investigators. Well, this season starts off with, it really grabs me by the boo-boo because it's called Children of Earth. And the show, Children of Earth, kicks off the season three of this paranormal series. Basically, it's a scary-ass version of the movie V back in the 80s. Remember that, when the aliens came?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, well, this is like a scary-ass version. The reason I say it's a scary-ass version is because they communicate through the scariest thing that is our children. They communicate through our children. So all these kids around the Earth just stop talking, and the aliens communicate through them. It's like a Children of the Corn meets Independence Day almost is pretty much what it looks like. I T-voted. It was on the BBC tonight at 9 o'clock, so... It's a five-part miniseries, though. It goes every day throughout the week, and it's on the BBC if anyone wants to check it out.
Huh. That sounds interesting. Yeah. I know Eric is going to watch it. It's got aliens.
Well, I guess, yeah, this is the third season. I never even heard of it. I usually keep up with all the little shows that come on, and this is the third season of this, and the series is called Torchwood. I don't know if you guys might be able to look it up. Maybe they got it out on DVD, the first two series. But yeah, they had first two seasons. This is the third season. And they kicked it off last year with a five-part miniseries and then went into the series. So it sounds pretty crazy, but a bunch of little Dakota Fanning lookalikes. You know how that girl peeps you out. She's in all them scary movies. So. All right. Well, next week, there's a total solar eclipse. And it has Indian astrologers, Indians with the dot, not the feathers, in case you're wondering.
Thanks, Eric. Clarifying that.
No problem. Anyway, they're predicting massive violence and potential doom because of this solar eclipse. But Wednesday's natural spectacle isn't seen that way by scientists and astronomers. You see, ancient Hindu mythology says that the two demon gods, Rahu and Ketu, swallow up the sun, causing food to become inedible and water to become undrinkable. I thought that's how all the Indian delicacies was, but I digress. The Indian astrologers are going. They go further by saying that whenever Saturn has gone into Virgo, either a world war or a mini war has ensued. Few people other than Indians see it this way. It's a mega travel firm has rented several Boeing 747s to view the eclipse from 40,000 feet up the air, and I'm sure it probably cost $40,000 as well. There was no prices, but yeah, it seems a pretty cool thing. It's next Wednesday. It's a total solar eclipse. And the Indians are freaking out because they say it's going to, you know, go there. The world's going to end. But I figured it was already like that over there anyway, you know, with all the famine and everything they got going on over in India. So, be warned, people in Alaska, the blob is coming. But a mysterious glob of, I guess you can call it goo, is floating in the Chukchi Sea off the Alaska's northern coast. Scientists say that this is a 12-mile-long blob of unknown material. They can't figure out what the hell it is. It's definitely biological, but it's unidentified as of yet. Samples are being So it's like, but this is the creepy part here is samples have been taken from it, and they're saying it looks like algae, but they found dead marine animals, jellyfish carcasses, like birds, flying aquatic birds, just strewn throughout its clutches. So they have no clue what it is. They don't know. It's like it's just a giant blob that's eating up parts of the Alaska coastline. Yeah,
that's
pretty little goofy. That we brought you last week. We brought you the Mothman guy and the giant worm. So I figured I'd bring you a blob this week.
Wait till it hits land and starts moving.
I feel like a blob.
Yeah, exactly. He starts moving up, and then Kevin Dillon makes a cameo appearance.
Right. Kevin Bacon pops out from under it. Hey, guys.
Exactly. So, that's all I got from the paranormal news. There wasn't much. We talked about this during the break before I came on, and, of course, Walter Cronkite passed away at 92 years old this week. He was the CBS news anchor. He brought the Kennedy, when John Kennedy was assassinated, he was the one that brought you the news of that. When ironically, today's the 40th anniversary of the first moonwalk, and he was the one that brought the news of that also, coming live from the moon, Buzz Aldrin and...
I was sitting here thinking Michael Jackson's moonwalk. I was like...
No.
Sorry.
No more Michael Jackson stories for a while.
Yeah, I had a ding dang moment.
Exactly. So, that was it for paranormal news, and not much happened in the world of sports. There was a couple interesting stories, and this one kind of a little paranormal-ish to the sports world. Yesterday at Royal Turnberry, I talked about this last week. The Scottish, the British Open. It's in Scotland at Royal Turnberry. Well, the golf world witnessed an epic match that didn't include Tiger Woods, oddly enough. After battling the ghosts of his spectacular win almost 30 years ago, I talked about this, Tom Watson, who 30 years ago, almost to the day, battled Jack Nicklaus in a thing called the Duel in the Sun, where they, back and forth for 36 holes, they fought each other, and Tom Watson prevailed. Well, fast forward 30 years to yesterday, Tom Watson is now 59 years old, and he captured the hearts of the crowd, and as he charged towards his sixth British Open victory, He held the lead all the way through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way to the 18th hole. And on the 18th hole, the ghost disappeared, and Watson couldn't hold on. Stuart Sink was a fellow American and a fan of the legendary Tom Watson. He won his first major and captured the Claret Jug, the famous Claret Jug that's presented to the British Open winner. The thing was, Watson commented after he had lost. They went on to a four-hole playoff, and Watson it looked like his Geritol ran out. He was 59 years old for sure. He couldn't hit a shot. But what he said is after the match was over, they interviewed him, and he said that he felt the presence of this golf course. He felt the ghosts carrying him through all the days, and that at the very end they just weren't there for him, and that he couldn't capture what he had, in the previous couple days. So he ended up missing out, and it was kind of sad. It would have been a pretty cool story to see this 59-year-old guy, because the reason he said is they couldn't compete. He can't compete with Tiger Woods on a day-to-day basis because he can't hit the ball that far. But over there, when the winds and the ghosts of the champions past can carry him, but it just wasn't didn't come to fruition. So also last Monday, I gave you the results of the All-Star Game, Home Run Derby. I told you that the American League had been dominant since Bill Clinton was in office. You guys remember that? Well, nothing changed. The AL won in dramatic fashion this time, beating the National League squad 4-3. All-Star MVP Tampa Bay Ray center fielder Carl Crawford stole a home run away from the NL. And Detroit Tigers Curtis Granderson tripled and scored the go-ahead run in the eighth inning to win the game. New York Yankees closer Mariano Rivera set a record with his fourth All-Star save, which broke Dennis Eckersley's record of, he was tied with Dennis Eckersley with three. The win gives the AL home field advantage in the World Series coming up in October. And finally, next week, the NFL training camps are opening. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited as all get. I have fantasy football coming around. But it seems like nothing changes. Brett Favre is still retired for now, but inevitable comeback, with the Minnesota Vikings is just around the corner. They've been working him out last couple weeks, and he's going to be back, folks. It's just the reason when he'll be back, and I'm sick of hearing about it, though. Michael Vick, dogfighting. Brandon Marshall, his second off-season arrests. And Dante Stallworth, who has just been released from prison for vehicular manslaughter, are still awaiting Roger Goodell's foot to come down and find out how long they're going to be suspended. Of course, Michael Vick just today completed his federal sentence for the dogfighting charges he faced. He's been out of the game for 18 months. And then Dante Stallworth, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but in the offseason down in Florida, he killed a person. He was driving a car drunk. Killed the guy, and got 2 months in jail. Michael Vick killed a bunch of dogs and got 18 months in prison. I don't know, kill a human being, you get 2 months. Kill a dog, you get 18 months. I don't understand the thing there. But anyway, I digress. T.O., you guys know who Terrell Owens is. He has a reality show. I thought that was what the NFL season was for him, was a reality show.
Great.
Right. Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, says he's finally going to play nice. The Patriots restocked and got better and will go as far as Tom Brady's knee will take him. The defending Super Bowl champion and my sister Amy and my wife Erica's boyfriend, Ben Roethlisberger.
Big Ben, Steelers rock.
They're looking to repeat as Super Bowl champions, and of course, my beloved Detroit Lions.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I don't know. I think the Lions, man. I told you that curse is over. Told you last week, the Bobby Lane curse is over. The Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
Right. The Steelers are going to go 0-16.
That would be something special, eh? Oh, and by the way, just across the bottom line, Brett Favre is still retired for the next 5 minutes at least. That's it for the sports update. I got a pretty cool curse. I forgot about this. And I was rummaging around, and actually I put a thing on Facebook last week, and someone came up with this one, and I totally forgot about it. The curse, it's called the Madden curse, the John Madden curse. Yes, the lovable oaf, teased by millions, famously, of course, by Frank Caliendo, has a curse. Well, he doesn't, but his video game does. Starting in 1999, the game's been around for over 20 years, but in 1999 they started putting players on the cover, players, the likeness of players on the cover. The first year they did this was in 1999. Garrison Hurst, who's a running back for the San Francisco 49ers, he had a great year, got into the postseason, and shattered his ankle in the playoffs, and inevitably missed two consecutive years because of the shattered ankle. Pretty much never came back. The next season, Eddie George, who had rushed for almost, 1,800 yards the year before, only rushed for 800 yards that year. No injuries, of course, but still, 1,000 yards less than he had rushed the year before. In 2004, Michael Vick broke his leg and missed 11 games, allegedly because of the curse. In 2006, Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb missed 7 weeks due to a hernia. And in 2007, just the year before he had won the MVP, Sean Alexander missed 6 games and only finished with 896 rushing yards, the lowest total of his career. And then in 2008, Vince Young was the last player that has been cursed by the cover. He threw for only 9 TDs and 17 interceptions and subsequently lost his job the next year to veteran Kerry Collins, and now is considered a mental case and thinks that they might not ever play another down in the NFL because of this. Is this a coincidence? I think not. I think it's the Madden curse, who that has come through. But I thought that was a pretty interesting little curse that these players, it's only one player instead of a team. But these guys, every time there was a few other instances where people, Marshall Faulk, a guy that had rushed for like 1,800 yards a year, averaged the year he was on the cover, he only rushed for 900 yards. So it was just really weird how all these players, the year that they went on the cover of Madden, the next year or that year, they didn't do as well as they had previous years or got hurt. So remember, if you have any ideas for curses or superstitions, contact me at sepianc.com. Yep. At sepianc@sepianc.com. That's all I got for me for the Paranormal News and Sports Report. I'm Eric Sheltis. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. I'll take it.
Rock on. You too.
Fantastic.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, man. You guys have a good night, and we'll hear from you next week.
All right,
man. Take care.
All right, bye. Yep, take it here.
All right, everybody.
What a night.
That went too fast.
It did. That's one of the first shows in a long time where times...
Cheese and crackers.
Cheese and rice. Cheese and rice.
I want cheese and crackers.
Oh, my. And guess what we get to do in a minute? We get to play with Amy's new blow-up toy. So, for all of you that were listening in the beginning of the show, do you remember what this toy was?
It's a quiz.
Ah!
First winner.
We're all wieners in this show.
First person to private message with the answer.
Private what?
Private message.
Private chat.
Whatever. With the answer of what my blow-up toy is, wins...
A wonderful DVD that we have.
Yeah, a DVD that we have. That we'll actually be giving out here in...
Next week?
Wow, yeah. Is it next week?
Cal in the...
Oh, my God, we're blowing up. Oh, my
God. Hey, Ben.
Monkeys.
A monkey.
A banana on a monkey. All right. Monkey in bed. All right.
Okay.
Yes, it's a blow-up bed.
You guys are smart.
And I think Carlo was the one that answered first. High five to Carlo on that.
We will get you that DVD this week.
See you, we'll give you that.
It's ghost porn.
That's a copy of the
You
movie.
Know what it is, Carlo.
Next,
we had a whole conversation about this.
Next week, we have Cal and a couple members of his group, Spectres, from New Jersey, coming on. It's going to be a pretty interesting show, so everybody should tune in. And we will also be giving away throughout the show some of their DVDs. We watch the DVDs, and they're interesting. And we can't wait to give these away to people. Oh, there's a new one. Thank you, everybody. We love you.
Thank you, everybody in the chat room. It has been an awesome show.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Sepia RVP. Be sure to check back next week where we'll bring you more from the paranormal world. Until then, stay alive.
Paranormal fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Browncoat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th, in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia. Plus, get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.